You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO at 102.7 FM.
20 years ago, this December 6th, a young man entered the École Polytechnique Engineering School in Montreal. He separated women from men students, shooting and stabbing to death 14 young women and injuring 10 before he killed himself. This event shocked Canadians. But what did we learn from it about violence against women? And how has violence against women changed since then, if it has changed? To explore this, I'm joined in the studio by Daisy Clare. She is a member of the collective Vancouver Rape Relief and Women's Shelter. Welcome, Daisy.
Thanks for having me, Mark.
Before we begin, congratulations really are in order for you and your collective. And this Monday, the YMCA chose Vancouver Rape Relief and Women's Shelter as this year's winner of the Power of Peace Award and Local Peacemaker for your work to eliminate violence against women. So warm congratulations on that.
Great. Thank you. It was great to be acknowledged by the community.
Let's go back to grimmer events. 20 years ago, the man who killed 14 women proclaimed when he was doing this, "I hate feminism." What do you think is the significance of his phrasing?
Well, it's a pretty important distinction to make in terms of violence against women and the issue of violence against women. Mark Lapine was very clear in who he was trying to assassinate. This was a political assassination. It didn't matter that these women didn't see themselves as feminists, as many of them didn't. He was found later to have a list of key women who lots of them would have considered themselves feminists on a hit list, and including a transition house worker, the first female female police chief, the first anchor woman in a major media station. And so he was very calculated in what he was doing. And the significance was is he was attacking a movement. He was attacking a political movement. And the problems that we see that arose from his massacre is the very typical in terms of mainstream media, and the spin that got put on this was he was somehow psychologically defective, and this was a crazy man, and his motives began to be questioned as a psychological problem rather than a social problem and a political attack on the women's movement.
I remember there was this inquiry into his family background and a lot of focus on those, which did divert away from that overt statement that he had made. He'd written that statement out, had he not?
Yes, he had. Yep.
Now, the responses, you talked a bit about the media and its shift to Mark Lapine and his background and so on, as opposed to his articulated statement. What other inadequacies do you think there were in the response to the Montreal massacre?
Well, first of all, no one came to the defense of feminists. And that was what was required. He was attacking a political movement, women who saw themselves as part of a civil rights movement for women, and there was absolutely no defense of that political movement, and certainly no acknowledgement that the gains that he was resentful about came at a cost for women and came at a cost for feminists. So certainly we would have liked to have seen a more outwardly support of feminism and of what feminists were doing. And excuse me, I also think that there was a real focus on this wasn't only an attack on women. You know, men were hurt by this too, and not all men are bad, as if feminists were ever saying that. Really, Mark Lapine's actions was a stark reflection of the common day, everyday experience that women experience about male violence against women. 1 in 3 women will be sexually assaulted or physically assaulted around the world. That's a United Nations statistic. A woman is raped every 17 minutes in Canada. There isn't just one bad guy or one crazy man. This is a systemic oppression of women, and violence against women is both a product of that oppression and a reflection of it.
I'm curious because it's become maybe a little more common to refer to how many women in Canada are murdered by men with whom they have had or are having an intimate relationship. And that figure, of course, becomes, when boldly stated, much greater than what was referred to as the Montreal Massacre. Was there, at that time, was there discussion of that kind of violence, that is, not just beating someone up, but going to the point of murdering them?
Absolutely. What the Montreal Massacre did for feminists, in particular the anti-violence women's movement, wing of the women's movement, was open up discussion about violence against women in general. I think the statistic now is over a woman a week is murdered by their male intimate partner in Canada. And certainly we see a connection between what Marc Lépine did, even though there is a difference in terms that he was attacking a political movement as much as he was attacking those individual women, or his intention was that. But certainly violence against women, the discussion opened up, and the public could not easily reconcile what he had done and what they knew was from their own experiences the realities of women. So in that way the public discussion was quite varied and wide open in Canada. Certainly feminists got a lot of backlash. We didn't get defended in terms of this man attacking our movement, but also we were seen as exploiting the situation by talking about violence against women in the context of feminism. And we saw no other way to talk about it. We had been doing the work in terms of violence against women for many, many years, and we saw his acts as an extreme form of what was going on with women all over Canada in private, in their homes. And so we couldn't, on behalf of women, not talk about the experience of violence against women that most women face.
Now, we fast forward a decade or more, and we have the phenomenon here in British Columbia and the murders of many women on the Picton farm, but the also staggering figure of some more than estimated 500 women who have gone missing or been murdered. Do you see that as connected in the same way as the Lépine murder in École Polytechnique 20 years ago?
I see all of them as a spectrum of in the continuum of violence against women. What's different about Picton is certainly he's also reflecting the hatred of women and misogyny of women to the extreme of murdering them. And so all of them reflect the violence against women as a problem in this country. Certainly even during the Montreal Massacre in the first year, we understood that these women were highlighted in a way that had some class and race bias. These were mostly middle-class women in a university setting. And we knew of, you know, even that year, there was 12 prostituted women that were murdered, and we had rallied for them a few months before the massacre had happened, and it didn't garner as much attention. That's not to take away from the massacre of the Montreal Massacre, because it was unique in many ways in terms of Lépine's main motivation and the way that the mainstream media at that time took over that story. But the the commonality in all of these kinds of attacks is the misogyny of a hatred of women. And certainly Robert Picton is not the only bad guy. And we again get the analogy of this individual man who's responsible for many of the murders in the downtown East Side, which is true. But there's many men who are not caught, who never get caught, that are attacking women, continuing to attack women. So I think that's one of the parallels, is the how these men get raised up as if they're unique. And unfortunately, we know that there is so much violence against women that it cannot be just a few five bad guys. It's a societal problem. And certainly, there's been a lot of change in terms of violence against women, but the numbers are still too high.
If we would look at it from the perspective of what has changed in the sense of positive dimensions in terms of violence against women, what would you identify?
I think the most positive thing has been that there has, since 1989, there has been a much more public discussion and discourse about violence against women, male violence against women. And that kind of blew wide open at that time and has continued to be a discussion among feminists, but also among the public. And I think that the public sympathizes with women who are experiencing violence and supports programs and services for those women. And I think that's one of the most major changes. The public discourse around male violence against women, well, there's no turning back. There is something called male violence against women. It is a phenomena around the world. And it's feminists who've coined that term and have made sure that the public understands that this phenomena is part of a social problem that keeps women down. And I think that's the most positive thing from in the 20 years that have come.
In the week from today, on December 5th, mm-hmm. You've got a series of events. It's the 20 years since that Montreal massacre. Is there anything you'd like to highlight from that?
Yeah, on next Saturday, December 5th, at the Public Library, we're going to be having a public women's conference. Men are welcome to come as well. And we've invited key feminists from all over Vancouver and Canada to come and discuss key topics on violence against women. We're going to have a really great feminist art installation in which we've taken 1 month's worth of women's attacks from men and displayed them visually without revealing any information about the women, just what the men said and did to women in a 1 month time period from our rape crisis line. And we'll also have roundtable discussions. We've invited Norma Ramos from the Coalition Against Trafficking of Women International to come and discuss mega tourist projects and its relationship to prostitution. And we have Pamela Cross from the National Association of Women in Law talking about custody and access and how abusive men use custody to continue to control their ex-wives. And so we'll have a series of things, films in one room, feminist films in one room. Another room will have lectures day long that are about 1 hour. And in another room, there'll be roundtable discussions where we've invited feminists to come and talk about key issues. And they're all going concurrently. So you have to pick up a schedule. It's on our website on the homepage. And it's a full day of events. And then on the concourse, we have an interactive display called Walk in Her Shoes. We ask you to take a scenario of a woman who's been attacked and go through different learning stations and kind of get a feel for what a woman has to face when she's trying to get the criminal justice system to respond to her. So it's a full day and it's free and open to the public.
Well, thank you very much, mm-hmm. and thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with Daisy Clare. She's a member of the collective Vancouver Rape Relief and Women's Shelter.